Acts chapter 18, verse 5, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. For now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Verse 8, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. See that verse right there? Where was Paul right here? That's not a trick question. It just said, the verse just said where he was at. He was in Corinth. Okay, let's go. You're scaring me, guys. Come on. And many of the Corinthians. How many have that in your Bible? Do you not have that in your Bible? What kind of Bible y'all got? You don't have that in there? Bring your translation to me after service. Let me double check it for you. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. Y'all ever heard of the books in the Bible called 1st and 2nd Corinthians? Okay. This is where Paul is building that church. He's starting that church. All right? And the Lord, verse 9, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent." Everyone say, "Do not be silent." That would be okay, except it was a little silent. Ready? Try it again. 1, 2, 3. Do not be silent. Right. There's no exceptions, right? Right? Do not be silent. For I am with you. No one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. This morning, I want to just give you this message the Lord laid on my heart late this week called Not Afraid, based on Acts chapter 18, verses 5 through 11, what we just read. Lord Jesus, we pray your anointing over our hearts and ears today. I pray, Lord Jesus, we're not marking time, but God, we're going to walk out of here equipped and armed as soldiers in the battle that we were born into. God, we just didn't walk an aisle and say yes and say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, amen." Lord, what we became was warriors in an army. We are in a spiritual battle. God, I pray that I will walk out of here with my face set like flint, that I am aiming at serving the kingdom of God like never before. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would be filled with your fire once again in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we would eliminate, that we would throw off, like your word said, everything that besets, any sin holding us back. It's time to unload it. It's time to go forward in the name of Jesus Christ in 2023. This year belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the secularists and all those folks can change it and change the AD and the BC because they don't like the name of Jesus in it, or AD, the year of our Lord. It is still the year of our Lord. It is still divided by Jesus coming to this earth. So we say in the name of Jesus, 2023 belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give him honor and we give him glory right now in Jesus' name. Woo! Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You guys are awesome. Love you all. Happy New Year. Come on, y'all. Happy New Year. Very cool. I want to talk to you for a few moments about what it means to not be silent, not be afraid to be silent. Because we are at a critical juncture in our culture. I believe today is the day for Christians to speak up. I believe today is the day for Christians to be bold. I believe today is the day, because the reason is, number one, we're called to, but the devil wants to silence your voice. You know, the act, the marriage act, whatever was just signed. We talked about that a few weeks ago, how it's interesting because gay marriage tragically has been legal in America for a number of years. So this Protection of Marriage Act is interesting, as in it wasn't even necessary, but it did have a purpose. And the purpose, my friends, when you boil it down and look at it, they want to silence the voice of believers. They want to silence the morality of the Bible. They want to silence the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in this country, and they want to shame people who hold biblical views. The devil, hear me, wants to silence your voice. He wants to silence your biblical beliefs. He wants you to keep it to yourself. May I suggest to you, keeping it to ourselves is the worst thing you can do. We weren't saved to keep anything to ourselves. We were saved to spread it because you carry something that can set captives free. You have carry something inside that can liberate the people that are bound. And the worst thing we can do is act like everything is fine when it's not. The worst thing we can do is act like, oh, there's no problem, when there's a big problem. Because it is calling things out in love through the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform people. Now, will everybody like to hear what we have to say? Of course not. Jesus said this. Are you ready? You ready? This is in the Bible, in red letters. They hated me. Guess what? Tag, you're it. They're going to hate you. And you don't get hated when you're quiet little mice. When you're quiet, everyone thinks you're wonderful. When you keep things to yourself, no one has any problems. It's when you speak up and declare truth. So this is what I want you to see. Number one, never be afraid to speak for the Lord. I know some people have trouble with this, but the Bible says that we speak for the Lord. Better be careful what we're saying, right? Never be afraid to speak for the Lord. Verse 9, you can underline it there in your Bible if you have it open or highlighted. If you have a digital Bible, do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, because I am with you. Can I tell you the opposite of this today? The devil wants you to be silent. The devil doesn't want you to rock the boat. The devil doesn't want you to pray. I got one amen on that one. See, that's why some people shouldn't speak, because you don't pray. We've had enough Christians speaking when they haven't been in the prayer closet, and they go out and make a train wreck of things publicly. Don't ask for examples. Y'all won't like them, but it's true. The devil wants to silence your voice. He wants to silence your prayers. He wants to keep you shut up. But here's the message. We must not be afraid to speak up. And here's why. In our weakness, the Lord Jesus Christ is strong. Now follow my logic here. This is how we prepare to speak in 2023. We pray. Here's the strategy. We develop a prayer life, and not just praying over our food or praying goodnight kisses over our children, even though those are both wonderful things. You should practice them both. We must develop a prayer life, because a prayer life will draw the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? As you are not being silent, as you are speaking, as you are preaching in those moments, when they drag you into court, when everybody comes against you, when they persecute you with words and with other such things and throw you in prison, he said, don't worry about what you will say. That ring a bell? In that moment, I will give you the words to speak. You see, what I think our problem kind of is we don't like to lead with our weakness. But our weakness is what we need to lead with. Oh, if I just had a degree in the Bible, and been saved 20 years, if I'd just been saved a little longer, we've been saved 20. If I just known the Lord, you've known him 30 years. How much longer do you need to know him before you speak up? I think the issue is we don't like to lead with our weakness, but we fail to remember that it is our weakness that draws the Holy Spirit. There's something about, am I making sense to anybody today? I got a few smiley nods and I have a lot of blank stares. When we lead with our weakness, that attracts the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, a few years ago, a long time ago, I don't remember when it was, sometime in the 90s, I was in Jamaica on a mission trip. And I remember we were going out, we were witnessing, and we were going door to door, street by street, and talking to people. And I remember there was this group of young adult men, or adult men, really. And I approached them, and I noticed that they were all smoking weed. They were kind of standing there, and they were mocking what we were doing. They heard what I was saying to someone else, and they were mocking Jesus, and they were mocking God, and it was ha, ha, ha. And so I thought, you know, talking about feeling out of my element for a lot of reasons, you're in a foreign country, you really feel out of your element. That's why I think everyone ought to go on a mission trip. You'll feel a lot more in your element in America than you do other places. And I was surrounded by these men, and they were mocking and laughing, but I just felt the Lord just well up in me and give me words, and I began just to preach the gospel to these guys. And I saw the Holy Spirit turn their laughter to somber, sullen faces. I saw the conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon them. I want to tell you, this is exactly how God works. He will put you in places at work. He will put you places at wherever you are, wherever you're located. You will feel like you're outgunned. You'll feel like there's more people around you that are against you than are for you. And many times that's true, but that's perfect odds for God. Remember, he's the one that sent home 28,000 members of an army so he can just fight with 300. I'm estimating there, but understand that God likes it when we're in the minority. No one wants to be in that small number standing against everyone coming against you. But listen, that draws the Holy Spirit. Everybody listen. That draws the Holy Spirit to you. Number one, you're taking a step of faith. Number two, the Holy Spirit sees that. He goes, help them. The Lord is there. This is what the message in the vision that Paul had. The Lord said to him, don't be afraid to speak. Why? Because I am with you. You see, we would have a better sense of his presence if we exercised our prayer life. We can all say, well, the Lord's with me. We believe that because the Bible says it, and that's true. But I want to tell you, if you want to feel the manifest presence of God, friends, you've got to have a prayer life. You've got to have a prayer life. And that's something I want to stress in this coming year, is that we give ourselves to prayer, both prayer, privately and corporately. It's a two-lane road, all going in the same direction. We need a foot in the lane of private prayer. We all need a private time of prayer. And then we all must have a foot in the other lane of public corporate prayer. Those are so important. I could stand up here and tell you of the 27 prayer meetings in the book of Acts, 26 of them were done corporately. I could tell you that, and that's a fact. But I just want you to understand that what we read in the New Testament, we in our Western individualized, customized context, we forget that everything Paul and Timothy and Jude and James, everything they wrote, Paul, it was meant to be done corporately. You know that? There was no individualized Christian experiences in the New Testament. Everything was corporate. Hello? We underestimate how much they relied on each other as believers, praying together, fellowshipping together, serving together. That was a key part. And we can't help it. It's our culture, but we've got this cowboy mentality where I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to just, I can just tough it out. But we need the body. We need each other. And when we come together and we pray, when we come together and we worship, something happens that you can't get by yourself on your living room couch. Something occurs inside of us that is powerful, and we get the sense that God is with me. We get this sense that there's a manifest presence of God dwelling in us. What it is, it's like an awareness that God is with me. And when you have the sense that God is with me, there's no need to be afraid. Ever be afraid to speak. I believe with all my heart that there's some of you in here today, you're just a couple days away from prayer and fasting away from a breakthrough. Some of you have been praying for something to happen. If you would just spend a couple days in prayer and fasting, you would see the breakthrough. A week from tomorrow, you probably all got, hopefully got the postcard when you came in today, but we've got a week of prayer and fasting. We're doing sun up to sundown. I want to encourage everyone to do it along with us. I want to encourage everyone. Yeah, I'll tell you, it'll be good for you in a lot of reasons. But I want to tell you, when we pray and fast, mountains are moved. Breakthroughs happen. Wednesday night, we're going to come together. We're going to bring potluck. We're going to meet in room 5 and break our fast and come in here and pray together. But I want to encourage you to be a part of that week. The Lord wants to do great things in you this year. I know that. In our weakness, remember, God is strong. Prayer and having a prayer like praying in tongues is critical. Is critical. This is why I believe Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, and this verse is misused and misapplied and misappropriated by those who don't believe that the gifts are for today. Some of you have come out of those type of traditions and you've heard this. But when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that tongues and prophecy and knowledge will cease someday when perfection comes, when Jesus comes. Okay, that's what it says. But the fact that tongues and prophecy and knowledge are needed right now and will be needed until we are perfected when Jesus comes back, the reason is we are in a weak flesh state. It's because we are weak that we need prophecy and tongues and knowledge. We need that. And Paul is calling that out. And this is why it says, and I got the scripture. Yeah, let's bring that up. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our what? Have you ever read Romans 8? I mean, really read it? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to. Isn't it awesome? In the middle of this chapter, not a peep about prayer, other than talking about how the Spirit of God empowers us to say Abba, right? That's a reference to prayer. But here he's saying, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He could have gone anywhere with this, but he chose prayer. It's an area of weakness that we are perhaps the weakest in, that the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside of us and strengthen us in. Because when we are weak, he is. Because when we are weak, he is. And when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays through us. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to pray because our weakness draws him. Are y'all with me today? Prayer. Prayer. The Lord will manifest through us as we pray. Now we know this about Paul. He was a man of prayer. He was a mighty man of prayer. In the New Testament, he talks constantly about prayer. How many verses are there? He doesn't necessarily give you 1, 2, 3 about prayer, although he does say pray without ceasing, although he does say pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. There are verses like that. But frequently he says, I've been praying for you through tears. He will ask the church, please pray for me. Please pray that God will just deliver. Please pray. And he learned that through his weakness, God manifests. And this, my friends, hear me today. This is the juxt or the gist, if you will, of what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. I know people say, well, that thorn in the flesh is probably some sickness. And you've probably heard people like I have use that verse. That's why God don't heal, because Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I'm sorry. Paul wasn't talking about illness there. How do I know that? Thorn in the flesh, exactly, context, thorn in the flesh, and maybe you've heard me say this before, I just want to make sure we're stamping out biblical ignorance one verse at a time. No one in this church is going to be biblically ignorant, I promise you. You're going to know more than anyone else, God help me. You're going to be sharp. You're going to be on it. Thorn in the flesh is not used in the New Testament except where Paul says it. It is, however, used in the Old Testament a few times. What Bible did Paul have? He had the Old Testament, the Tanakh, right? What we call the Old Testament. He had that. So when he was saying, I have a thorn in the flesh, where do you think he might have got that idea? From his Bible reading. In what, pray tell, does thorn in the flesh refer to in the Old Testament? Always people. You ever had a thorn in the flesh now? And everybody was like, I've had a lot of thorn in the fleshes. We all know this. This is factual in Scripture. Paul had people that wanted to kill him. And the Judaizers, remember, they promised not to eat or drink food or water for 40 days until Paul was dead. And Paul said, I prayed that the Lord would remove this thorn in my... I would really like to go around, Brother Chuck, and not have to worry about people killing me. I would really like to go around and people not have to look around the corner. Or, you know, I'm in a synagogue and all of a sudden people get riled up like, uh-oh, these are the people that want to kill me. I might need to just leave. Lord, would you remove this thorn in my flesh? And you know what the Lord told him? In your weakness, my strength is perfected. You see, sometimes I think we're praying for the Lord to remove the things that we need. The pressure and the tension. We want the tension gone. Oh, God, there's somebody I work with that's a rank vile sinner. And, man, they just rub me the wrong way. Or there's somebody in my life that, man, I just wish God would just remove him. Could you just understand for a moment that perhaps that person is there to get you on your face before the Lord. Perhaps that person is there. The tension you feel, the conflict you feel could very well be there because God is trying to get you to lead with your weakness. In his weakness, our weakness, he is strong. This is why we should never be afraid to speak up for the Lord. Like, well, I don't know. I've heard it all as a pastor. I've heard all the excuses. Well, I don't think I know the word good enough. Well, you know, if you've been saved more than a week, that shouldn't be an excuse. How much do you need to know? I'll tell you, I've spent my life studying it, and I need to know more. So don't think that for a second. I need to know more. Well, you'll never come to a place where you say, I know enough, I'm done. And while you might get close to that point academically, spiritually, there are untapped wells. There are horizons that have yet to be experienced. There are shadows that need to be cast on people so they can be healed. There are realms of glory that we have yet to experience because their God is not meant to be just learned about in a book. He's meant to be experienced by us, his people. Amen? Right? This is what Paul is writing in Romans 8. This isn't just a theology that we can study. This is all experiential. This is experiential, yes. There's groaning. I didn't even get into the verse about groaning. Creation groans, we groan, the Holy Spirit groans. Some of us have lost our groan. We need to get back to groaning before the Lord. Whew. When we operate from weakness, the Holy Spirit helps our weakness. It's time to recognize our need for God in prayer and engage in the battle of our time, that God moves powerfully in us. I want to tell you, I feel sorry for pastors that won't speak up on moral issues of today. It's sad. If you're watching online and you've been going to a church and your pastor's too afraid to speak up, you don't know where he stands on abortion or gay marriage, you need to leave your church. If he hasn't spoken by now, he's not going to. Get out of it. And we'll give you some good advice. Leave it. Pastors want to be silenced when other people have been losing their jobs because they refuse to get a shot in the arm. They have families whose children are being exposed to sexual perversion at school. Some dealing with teachers who are nothing more than sexual perversion groomers. A teenage girl I heard in the news recently was kicked out of school because she called a man pretending to be a woman a man. Called him sir. The audacity. I'm not going to call. I'll just tell you right now, I'm not calling anybody pretending to be something else what they're pretending to be. They have a psychosis or a demon or both, but I don't have to participate in it, and I'm not going to. The church needs a strong voice. Got an email from Dr. Michael Brown. I'm part of his mailing list. He was telling the story of recently a young lady was simply in London, standing in front of an abortion clinic, praying. Wasn't doing anything, not holding the sign, not yelling. She was just standing there praying. And there was a complaint registered against her. And so on the public sidewalk, there she was standing. The police came and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm praying." They said, "Let's go." They took her to jail just because she was praying. Just because she was praying. If we don't speak up, my friends, I want to tell you, we're going to have issues. When their Christian parents are going to school board meetings to fight pornography from being put in their kids' school libraries, where are the pastors standing up to these issues? Where are the men and women of God standing alongside with their people saying, "Yes, we come against pornography. We don't want pornography in our school. We don't want this trash being peddled to our children. Leave our kids alone. Keep your hands off of our children." See, the woke mob wants to tell you, "Well, you're going to be political. You better keep politics out of church." I disagree. If that's politics, I'm going in head first. What I think doesn't belong in the church is promoting candidates. That's what you're never going to hear. We're not here to promote a D or an R. We're not here to promote a candidate, but we're going to preach the thunder out of these moral issues because they're becoming political issues and they need to be preached about. Godly men and women need to stand up. Where's that in the Bible, brother? Well, I got your verse for you right here. Here's Paul. This is Paul talking. He was reminding everyone he was writing to how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you in public from house to house. Paul never held back. Say, "Well, that's just one verse." Well, I have another one. Acts 16, 37 through 38. Paul called out the sneakiness of what was happening then by the hand of the government. Remember, he was arrested illegally and they were being on trial. And he says, "Wait a second." He said, "You're going to do this in secret to a Roman citizen?" And they're like, "Ooh." Remember? Oh, they spoke up all right. They spoke up all right. Men of prayer, women of prayer, speaking up is the order for today. Hear me? Men of God, women of God, speaking up under the influence of the Holy Spirit. More of that, please. Yeah, I think I'll order the men and women of God speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit to our culture. Thank you. I'll have that. In fact, everyone at the table is going to have that. I'm placing my order right now. Next. Here's what we see. There's something powerful about a believer when they stand, and believers should therefore have a moral impact on their city. Verse 10, the Lord said to Paul, "I have many people in this city." Y'all see that? Now this needs to be understood maybe a couple ways, but primarily, it doesn't mean there's a lot of people already saved in that city, because there weren't. We need to understand the Lord telling Paul, there's a lot of people that are going to be saved in this city. If you will keep speaking, there's a lot of people that have been earmarked for salvation here. You see, the Lord knows, and the harvest is ripe, right? We know that the harvest is ripe almost everywhere, but the Lord, the Spirit of God, knows where things are more prime than others. That's why the Lord said, he told him in Acts, right? Don't go to Asia right now. Skip that. Go over here. Because there are certain areas that are more prime. See, this is why I believe a praying church can open the way for a move of God. If you don't believe your prayers matter on Wednesday night, I want to tell you you're wrong. because they do. Because as we pray, the atmosphere becomes more conducive for an invasion of the Holy Spirit. Because just as the Holy Spirit directed them in Acts, don't go over there. They're not ready for it yet. Go over here. I want to be a place that the Holy Spirit will say, go to Dayton, Ohio. Go to Huber Heights, Ohio. That's a place you can go. My Spirit is there. There's a church that prays, and there's a lot of people ready to receive salvation if you will just not be silent and speak up. You see, church, we should have a moral impact on our city. Your neighborhood. I'm sure I'm known as the guy that has Jesus sign in the front yard at Christmas. I have a 6-foot Jesus sign. It just says Jesus. I'm going to add to it next year, Dylan. I found a guy who'll make me what I need. I'm going to add Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. I think my front yard's going to be a bunch of names of Jesus. And a couple little Christmas trees, too, for the kids. Like, oh, that's cool. They sparkle, they light up. That's just one little thing, but I just said, hey, I don't see Jesus anywhere in my neighborhood, so I'm going to be the one that represents him. Now let that be all through our lives. Everything we do. Every word we say. Come on. Y'all heard that song, Let My Life Song Sing for You? Yeah? Let my life song sing. For you, let the words I say, let the things I do reflect. You know, that's what makes us different than animals, right? I know you can give me biological reasons. Well, we can speak. I know that. I got it. But we are created to be imagers of God. There's interesting debate about what it means to be the image of God. And I think it's best understood, perhaps, in our limited understanding, perhaps, is that we are to be imagers. We are just to be a reflection of him. Whatever that is, as it's been revealed to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us different. We are here to reflect the greatness and the goodness and the awesomeness of God. And we can't shrink back from that. It says in Proverbs, when the righteous prosper, a city rejoices. There is something powerful when righteous people stand up and have a moral impact on the city. I want to tell you, this is why we must speak. Because as we do, as we lift up Jesus, as we let our life sing to him, for him, wherever we go, we are making an impact on people around us. Not everyone's going to like it. Get ready. It's okay. There's some delusion that's floated around the body of Christ for a few years. Well, if you present Jesus the right way, everyone will like you. Wrong. That's why I'll just be honest. I'm talking about my profession, right? A lot of pastors won't speak out because they're afraid. People leave when they get offended. You got to be okay with that if you're going to preach the gospel. You got to be okay with that. You're going to lose, let me come to your world too. You're going to lose friends when you stand up for Jesus. So proud of my oldest daughter. She's not here today so I can talk about her. But if you follow her on Facebook at all or have much conversation with her, you know her life has been changed by the power of God the past couple of years. You know what? Frequently I hear her say, well, so-and-so unfriended me on Facebook. I've lost all kinds of followers on Instagram because she's just preaching the gospel, right? She's just posting stuff. I just say, hey, let me shake your hand, honey. Welcome to the club. The further you go in him, the less you can take with you. And all those people that you lost that you thought were your friend, they weren't. They don't give a rat's whisker about you. Some of them just want to use you. They don't care about you. And when you challenge their sinful, perverted beliefs with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's an instant decision that must be made. I can repent of my sin, or I can keep mocking and laughing like those dudes smoking weed. I can hard turn. It's easy to do in America. That hard turn, it's easy in America. I'll just find some other people. Oh, come on, y'all. I'll just find another church. That pastor thinks drinking's okay over there. He doesn't talk about abortion. I'll go over there. We'll be out in 56 minutes and it'll be fine. He'll never say a word about my sin. He'll never say a word. He'll never preach those kind. He'll never say those kinds of verses. I got a long list of reasons why people have exited out of here. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's because they were offended by a word that was preached. I had a family member one time, years ago, predate most everybody in here except Jason, Sarah, Randy, and Sharon, and Julie. Family member. Didn't like something that I preached. That steps on my toes. I said, but that's what the Word of God says. Well, I'm going to find another church where they don't believe that. It always reminds me of the little Peanuts cartoon with Charlie Brown. Linus gets him a bow and arrow for Christmas or something. And he shoots the arrow against the fence. He missed. He had a bullseye he was aiming at, but he missed the bullseye by about 30 feet. So instead of like sharpening his aim, you know, he gets him a can of paint and goes out there and paints a bullseye around his arrow. That's what a lot of people in America do. Rather than me adjusting to what the Word says, I'll find someone who'll paint a bullseye around my arrow and tell me I'm amazing for 25 minutes and say, see you next week. Hope you have a great time this week. See, if we want to grow, we got to lose the can of paint trying to paint a bullseye around our arrow. We have to say, you know what? We're missing the mark. It's God's mercy. God strikes me with his arrow still. I can't even tell you all the things that I can't even go. The Lord is still working on me. I could get bent out of shape and no, I want to grow. I tell a lot of great stories about people like Smith Wigglesworth and William Seymour and Miracles God. I want to be like, I can't be them. I'd like to be like them. I'd like to be more like Jesus. I'd like to see the power of God. If that happens as I grow, that happens as I realize, you know what? I've been pulling the bow this way for a long time and I keep missing the, now I can get frustrated and get me a can of paint. I want to say pan of paint. I don't know why I said it. I get me a can of paint and I'll go paint a bullseye around where I'm at, right? Or, it's like golf. You know, you can learn to swing your club correctly, or you have to learn to play your slice and hook. Now, the best way to do it is get some lessons, learn how to swing, eliminate that brutal hook. And that, see, I got a hook that it's like brutal, right? So if the fairway's narrow and like Dylan would be where I'd aiming. Okay, watch this. Now, imagine Dylan like, you know, 150 yards further out. See, here I am. See, I'd have to turn this way. I got too much softball swing in me, right? And like, hey, perfect. Now, see, we could learn to do that, but isn't it better to grow? Isn't it better that we learn to swing it properly? Isn't it? And this is where spiritual growth is. We can find something that would accommodate our handicap. Or we can say, God meant for me to grow past this weakness. My hook. My slice is my handicap. I want to grow. This is because, listen, we were intended to have an impact on our city. Are you with me this morning? We were intended to have. There's my call. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you, Paul's presence was a threat to the kingdom of darkness in the city of Corinth. That's why he was being persecuted. That's why all hell was breaking against him. So the question is, if believers are to have, and I'm about to wrap, I mean clothes, not like rap, you know what I'm saying? I know you older folks didn't have any clue about that, but you know. I'm sorry, that's terrible. I shouldn't do that. In the middle of a sermon, for crying out loud. All right. And I'm terrible at that too. I'm so bad. I'm sorry. Paul wanted to leave. He's like, they're rejecting me. I'm leaving. The Lord came to him in a vision because he was a man of prayer. He was a man given to him. And he said, Paul, don't go. Don't be afraid to speak. I have many people in this city that are ready to respond to you if you'll just speak up. Now, see, how was that going to happen? By osmosis? See, a lot of Christians think it's osmosis. That would be me saying, I'll just put a Jesus sign in my yard for 3 weeks in December, and I think I'm reaching the world. Nope. As much as I believe in missions, I'll send $25 a month to missions, and that'll be my thing. Nope. Doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens when I pray and I speak up. Because listen, hear me, there's no substitute for your voice. Some of y'all need to write that down. There's no substitute for your voice. My voice can't replace your voice. You're in arenas I'll never be in. You're in front of people I'll never be in front of. Your life is lived out in front of people that I'll never have a chance to have my life lived out in front of. Your voice cannot be replaced. If you don't speak, people say, well, someone else will do it. I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot that's gone undone in the kingdom of God because too many Christians said, well, I don't, God will send somebody else. No. I don't believe that. I believe people have assignments. I believe God has called each one of us. We have a voice. Stop letting the devil underrate your voice. Because you have an impact on your city, our city, your community, your family. Right? How many would like to see some breakthrough in? For those of you praying for your family, can I tell you, 1 year makes all the difference in the world. I have felt hopeless myself. And suddenly, things turned on a dime because of God. Because of God. No matter how it looks, I don't care if you prayed 30 years for somebody, it all can turn on a dime. Your voice matters. Don't give up. Keep praying. Press in. We're on the winning side. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world. If God is for us, who can be against us? Shall I keep quoting verses? The Lord is with you. Come on, Gideon and Gideonettes in here. The Lord is with you. Mighty man of valor, mighty woman of valor, the Lord is with you. The 30,000 man army you thought you needed is about 29,700 too heavy. We're about to dismiss them. You're going to go out there and lead with your weakness. Your strength is going to be your faith in the Lord. That's going to attract him, and you're going to have an impact on your family, your culture, your city because of your faith, because of giving the Lord your weakness. Let's stand to our feet, grab your communion right now in the name of Jesus. Sorry.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.